Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Good evening, church. Pleasure to be here and an honour to be with you all. The main idea behind this of me giving the testimony, of course, is to glorify God, just to start off and make it really straight to the point, and obviously to edify people that might need encouragement, believers or non-believers alike, but the main thing is to glorify God. It's got nothing to do with me. In fact, as the song says, less of me, more of you, God. Correct? Okay. So I apologize in advance if I get a little bit emotional. I used to be a lot harder, and but these days it's just God's just made a mess of me, especially when you bring up songs like that. Thank you, Andy. It's just amazing worship, isn't it, this church? Amazing worship. So just so excited for what God's going to do, and I went from nervous, really nervous, to now I'm very excited. So let me start off. I'm on the clock, so I better start. I was born 1976, towards the end of the year. So for those of you that aren't working it out, I'm not 40 yet, okay? I was born in Argentina. My mother, poor darling, was stuck in a hospital for Christmas 1976. Thanks, Mum. She says that I'm apparently worth it. So that was amazing. She did that for me. Now, in 1976 and up to the point where we came to Australia, a lot of things in Argentina, for those who don't know, were very tough. Third world country, military rule, people disappearing, people just taken, never seen again, poor conditions, very unsafe. And actually, before reaching the age of six, I almost tasted death twice. The first one I'll share is that Mum was on a bus. Is that correct, Mum? And you had me in your womb, yep. And so her and a friend on the bus, and the military were very heavily armed, going around just randomly picking who they wanted to take, basically. And sometimes even pregnant women would disappear. So Mum was approached with her friend and asked for ID and all the rest of it. Sometimes they were nice, they left you. Sometimes they would take you. So praise God, I'm still here in front of you all today, but that could have been, who knows, that was maybe God's mercy then. And also, when I was around 3 months, 3 months of age, I became very blue suddenly. And mothers know when there's something wrong with you. So she knew to take me straight to the hospital. Dad wasn't sure, but Mum said, we're going to the hospital. Blue isn't normal. So we're taking him to the hospital. Apparently, there was serious issues with my kidney. So I was about to die. So there was complications with the kidney, and I had to be operated on urgently. So that was a very early operation. Until I was about 15, I had to have yearly checkups, blood tests, the whole lot, but praise God, I'm still here. And then I was plagued with nightmares for, you know, a very young age up to the day that I said yes to Jesus. And so moving on to 1984, I'm going to just take really quick snippets, okay? I can't obviously do more than that right now. But basically, in 1984, in August, we came to Australia. My family brought us when I was 7 years of age. The best thing they ever did for us. It was amazing. It was very tough leaving the family, not speaking in the language, having no money to do anything. Of course, the government couldn't help at that stage when you're an immigrant. My parents did it tough. I thank them very much for giving us a future here and bringing us to Australia. Mum and Dad, thank you very much. Amazing. And the love and support of this country for us was just phenomenal, adopting us, taking us on board. That really helped, because it was so tough without having our family here. You guys probably never experienced what it's like to be torn away from your family. And although I was just 7 and a half, I know what it felt like for me even till this day. My parents even more, of course, leaving everything that they had behind and just not knowing what the future was going to bring. But now, how are we going for time? Okay. All right, so in 1989, I started high school. I was 12 years old. This is where things got a bit messy. I experienced a very, very serious trauma. The whole family did. Me being the oldest of four felt the brunt of it. Mum also felt the brunt of it. Dad had issues there and depression, and it led to other things. And long story short, he ended up with a mental illness that, thanks to God, is okay today, but it could have been a lot worse, and praise God for that. But it basically had a very profound effect on me and just forced me to really grow beyond my years very quickly and have to take on responsibilities that no 12-year-old should have to take on. But again, that was just part of me growing up, and God had his hand on me the whole time. And so that was very tough. And from 12 to about 27, it was just a very serious time for me. It was hard to function normally. I had a lot of depression going on. And high school, obviously, is a very tough year as you're growing up. Adolescence, not an easy time at all. So I had a lot of insecurities, a lot of low self-esteem. I was a victim of racism and bullying, of course. That doesn't help either when you're in the country and you're the only Italian in the, or one of few Italians in the school at Moorabark there. But little did I know that at Lilydale there were a lot more Italians there, like all the Devos, but I had no idea about that. My parents chose Moorabark. Thanks, Mum and Dad. So we're all on our own there, just a very few, maybe one Lebanese, three Italians. It was like a handful of us. And anyway, copped it big time. A lot of damaging words spoken over me through different people at different times in my life. Like, for example, you'll never amount to anything. You've failed again. You are so ugly. And the list goes on. On one occasion, I was actually even betrayed by a so-called friend. He lured me into a place where there were no teachers around. And, of course, at that time, I innocently went up and said, "What's going on?" And then this bully came out of nowhere and spat right in my face, the biggest grommet this guy could conjure up, right in my face, which I laugh at today. But that was just so damaging that it's beyond words, really, what that does to a person. I mean, what does it do to your confidence? What does it do to your self-esteem? It destroys it, literally. So Over the years, there was a sense of rejection, bitterness, unforgiveness, rage, etc., just brewing inside of me. As a consequence, I grew up believing I had to achieve acceptance and value by striving, constant striving. I became a people pleaser. From the outside, you couldn't tell, but on the inside, I was hardened, a very, very hardened, angry young man. In 1991, roughly, I took up martial arts to better defend myself, because I was, as the Americans say, very skinny, a buck 05. Not sure if what that translates to, maybe just a very skinny runt. Yep. So I was maybe 25 kilos less than what I am now. And I took up martial arts thinking I'm going to really just show these guys. And it just really didn't help. It just brought on the anger and the rage even more. In 1995... that was the end of high school. I started my own business from the love of music, which is still going today and feeding my family, praise God. Many people have come to the Lord through that business, which is a story for another day. But finally, obtaining confidence, popularity, status, and anything else that the world can try and throw at you, the emptiness was still there. So in a desperate attempt to fix my problems, I visited numerous counselors, psychologists, hypnotherapists. I even tried self-hypnosis, but to no avail. The struggle within continued. Always believing and knowing of God. I was never doubting God. I came up, grew up as a believer, of course. I was born Catholic, always believed in God. But although I believed and I knew there was a God, I never actually knew God. Big difference of knowing there's a God there and then actually, hey, I know you, God. Huge difference, and you guys know what I'm talking about. So, of course, until one day, I haven't got too many pages, okay? So I've named this one, 2004, Salvation is Here. You guys know the song Hillsong? I think it's Hillsong United. That was the year that I was born again, and that song came out. It was just etched in my mind. So I mentioned that I was born a Catholic. Us Catholics, we die hard. Okay, so my brother is amazing. He was the one that was the first traitor in the family. And he went and started looking at different churches and whatever and different belief systems. Well, the same belief systems, but more of a relationship with God, I guess. And he wanted more. So he's the one that led me to Christ. So I just want to say publicly today, bro, I love you and I thank you for the fact that you didn't give up on me. And I told you many times, I'm Catholic. You still kept inviting me and insisting. Thank you so much. And he invited me to church. And if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here today. Who knows where I would be. that day that he invited me to church, actually, there was a Italian fellow ex-mafioso up there on the stage. And it was just so like God to organize that for me. Like, it's just amazing. And long story short, even a young fella, 12 years old at the time, himself, there's that number again, 12. And he sat with me the whole time and he said to me, now, when you, because I didn't know anybody at this church, and he said to me, when they call you up and they do the altar call, just go up. And I'm going, okay, kid, who paid you to say that? But actually, no, that was just God, because he knows I love children. He knows my heart. I love kids. I just love them. You know, they're so innocent, so beautiful. That's just love them. So I burst into tears when this man started to share all of his, and he was also so emotional just sharing. Like, he spent a good 1.5 hours talking about his testimony, and very powerful. And he was a very hardened man. He just wouldn't cry. And then all of these things that he had done and all of these things that he came out of because Christ touched him. And that was it. The rest is history. This guy was done. And it's like this guy was just, you know, reading my mail, you know, just really touching my heartstrings. It was amazing. And so when I went forward, I bowed the knee to Jesus, my Savior. I felt what seemed like the weight of the world fall off my shoulders. Instantly, I was healed of depression, anxiety, insomnia, you name it, the lot. Even, if I can say in church, constipation. It was very, very, very common for me to... I had this problem all the time. And I don't anymore, praise God. Just sharing. But basically, when... I wasn't going to say this, but it wasn't uncommon for me to just go 7 days straight without visiting. Okay, just to give you an idea of the stress and the anxiety of this young man that I, you know, 27 years old, up to 12 to 27. It was crazy. I even had my brother there, you know, when he was younger, putting notes under the door and being a real clown and just not leaving me in peace, for crying out loud, even in the toilet. Anyway, let's move on. So, gosh, I've got to be transparent, right? So... This is recorded, right? So, other things have been a slower process in my life, but those things were instant, bang, gone, never to be seen again. God is amazing. The blood of Christ just wiped me clean. So, other things have been a bit slower to learn and to grasp and to say, yes, Lord, such as letting go of the world and the lusts of the flesh, maturing, listening to the wife. Just ask my wife about all those things. I'm doing all right, but I still have a long way to go. So some things are instant, some things we just keep growing every day in the Lord. Amen? So another thing is I've noticed that even early on in my walk, just different people speaking into my life. I mean, even here when I was baptized many years ago, David Odd and Chris Blacker spoke over my life. Spoke destiny and purpose into my life. And even back then, I just remember this, the resistance of, God, why would... No, they got the wrong guy. Clearly, they're, you know, they haven't got it right there. And so I just basically kept resisting the call. And who knows that when you resist the call, you're miserable, correct? So it doesn't matter to what extent or what it is that you're called to. Everyone here is called. to something, and we're all to be an influence in our circle of influence, correct? So another interesting thing I'll just mention is just quickly that around 2008, this was a forerunner to my interest in actually seeking the most of God that I can, even when it comes to the abundant life, even when it means like, well, what did Jesus die for? Was it just my salvation or is there more? This was actually one of the things that God did for me to show me that, yeah, he's definitely a healer today, as always. And this is, at this very church, I went up for prayer because I was just, look, God, I'm taking out your word. You've said that you can heal. And I don't even know if Matt remembers this, but you prayed for me. I had a really bad neck, and you prayed for me. And guess what? I was healed. So it blew me away. I went up to the front, got prayed for, got healed. What else did I expect? I mean, is God a liar or is man a liar? Literally, God says he heals, so he heals, right? So that just really got me. And I went up there fully expecting. And if we go to God as a child, fully expecting, not having any other ideas in our mind, then we'll receive. And that's what happened that day. So that blew me away. That was just amazing what he did. And I've come to learn since then, after many years of digging and digging and saying, Lord, I want more. I want more. It's fantastic that you've taken me out of the, you know, that dark hole that I was in, but I want more. I don't want to just wait to go to heaven. There's got to be more now for this life and to be able to impact other people. So I've learned that there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus, as we've just been singing. So I've been seeking, studying regarding the overall person of God, and it clearly says from what I'm seeing that these signs shall follow those that believe. These signs shall follow those that believe. Doesn't say these signs shall follow those that are on television, you know, big evangelists, or those that pay their money, or those that are really good, or, you know, that it says if you're a believer, you'll have the signs follow you. That's just really simple. And I had an unshakable revelation that God can move through his children in signs and wonders, and that's because I really didn't move on that. I was not going to move on the fact that if God was healing back then and he's healed since then why not now? Why not now? It's just really straightforward. So I basically went to the word. This year marks the 12th year in my walk. And every day for me is an adventure with God. I live life to the limit. Absolutely. In fact, there are no limits with God, really, if we're going to think about it. There are no limits. So we are free to be who we are in Christ, correct? So that's what it's all about. And I'm just going from victory to victory. Used to be bummer to bummer all the time. Things would just go wrong. And I'm like, oh, got to try harder. Got to do this. Got to do that. It's always about me. Now I'm like, forget Serge. It's about look up. Just look at God, what he's done for you. It's already been paid for. That's my life now. And to his glory, I'm able to be used to bless others, to meet the need, whatever the need might be. So if the need is financial, if they need food, if they need clothing, if they need prayer, if they need whatever the prayer might, that I might need to spend some time with certain people, I just do it. I don't have to think about it anymore. Jesus came to serve, did he not? He didn't come to just talk the talk. He came to walk the walk. So if the world is going to see who is in us, we need to just remove the old self and start walking in what we're called to walk. And that's in our new creation, which I'll never forget, 2 Corinthians 5:17. It's just one of my favorite scriptures. I mean, you guys would know that one. About all the old things have passed away, and behold, all things are new to the people that are new in Christ. And that's what I took at heart. I just took it straight to, and that's one of Hal Oxley's favorites as well. I there's a few people that have mentioned, I just love that one. John loves it as well. So just trusting in God as my provider and overseer in my life. He oversees everything that I do. And sometimes it's not easy, but we just have to trust in God. And that's what I've been learning to do more and more. There's been a lot of things that have happened recently that I guess I could give you some examples. Healing testimonies. There's been a lot, but okay, very quick ones. Two couriers in one day. I've named this one. I work from home, so I get a lot of people knocking at the door. Do you guys want to hear this? Okay, cool. Just making sure you're still awake. Because I can waffle on, but I'm okay. Am I doing all right? Okay. Still on time. Okay. So basically, I work from home at the moment. It's fantastic. I can see my kids grow up and get distracted every 2 minutes, but that's okay. love you, honey. So basically, if I'm not changing a nappy, I'm answering a phone, but that's okay. It's all good. And basically, one day I woke up, my hair was like everywhere, and I had a courier, you know, they'd like to rock up nice and early sometimes, sneak up on you 8 a.m. or whatever. Well, that's early for me. The first guy rocks up and he, lovely Persian guy. Are you here, Sean? Sean, are you here? Okay, I can go on. No, Sean is one of the guys that I prayed for. He's a lovely guy. And he was healed instantly. His back was totally fixed. God sorted him out in about 30 seconds. And he was thanking Jesus. It was fantastic. A month later, gave his life to Jesus. That was in the morning. In the afternoon, another guy rocks up. He's Indian. And he was very skeptical. But still, he sat down on my chair at the front of the house. For you guys that have been there, Veronica knows the chair I'm talking about. She calls it the miracle chair. The healing chair, is it? Okay. It doesn't matter what chair you sit on. God can still heal you. Sitting up, standing down, can I start again? Standing up, sitting down, lying down, doesn't matter. God will heal. It's no problem. But she calls it the healing chair. So this guy sat down and skeptical as, but he still, he had an operation a year prior, and the L5 was operated on and he couldn't move his leg for 8 months and he was messed up, and the doctor said, you're not going to be able to do the things you're doing. You have to take it easy, okay? You can't lift like you used to. And he was had to be very careful with his back. So he's let me pray for him, but he totally skeptical, and God healed him on the spot. It was amazing. It was fabulous. I've got it on video. The guy's face was priceless. Then he tells me something about the mind. It could be the mind, and it could be, you know, the legs were lifted up, so maybe the blood circulation or whatever. And I said, look, mate, you come back to me at 5:30 when you finish or whenever you finish, and we'll see if it's your mind or if it's God. And sure enough, he turned up, and we had a good conversation, and since then, he's also given his life to Jesus on this property, actually, up there in the car park about 2 months ago, praise God. So there's that. There's also one very recent one. These are all recent, but a couple of weeks ago I had a Jew and a Christian turn up to my door. Do you want to hear this one? Okay. A Christian and a Jew. Okay. The Jewish guy is training the Christian guy how to do sales. Okay. And he's actually rocks up at the worst possible time. I mean, I sometimes we just aren't in the mood, or you're busy, or you need to go to the toilet. Or something like that, right? And so now I'm regular, right? So I need to go, right? And this guy rocks up at my door, and I'm like, oh my goodness, not only am I, you know, flat out with work, I need to go. I was just about to go. They knock on the door. like, oh no, I'm what am I gonna hide? So I went to the door. Simone, of course, never hears the door. So I go to the door, here's these two guys. The Jewish guy's got a thick British accent. Love the British accent. And then the other guy, he's an Afro-American Christian guy, thick American accent, and they do the whole pitch on me, you know, the solar panels thing. I'm still thinking about that, but it's a different story. So they do the pitch. I tried to brush them off, because sometimes I'm just not in the mood, even if God's telling me, Holy Spirit's telling me, do it. I'm like, no. Just kept persisting. So, okay, of course I gave in. Yes, Lord, I will. Okay, fine. So I listened to them Then I said, guys, I'd love to today, but I can't. I've got to move on. But let me tell you this. Do you guys know Jesus? So I started from there, and then I was able to work out who was who, because as soon as you mention God, people react a certain way, and that's brilliant for me to get the idea of where it's going to go. So this guy started to drum up excuses. They had to go all of a sudden, right? And I said to them, guys, I just immediately knew that the American guy was a basketballer, tall, typical American basketballer. You know those long black guys, right? Just basketball-looking guys, right? Anyway, lovely guy. He's a Christian. Sorry, I couldn't describe it any better than that. But he basically said he had all sorts of issues through basketball, and he had an ankle issue, a stress fracture there. He had a knee issue over here with arthritis and whatever else, and the shoulder as well. And I said, awesome, God can take care of that in about a minute. So they said, I somehow managed to convince him to sit down, and although I didn't have time. All of a sudden, I just, the Holy Spirit gave me the inclination to do that. So I sat him down, and his friend, I made his friend film from my phone, the Jewish guy. And anyway, long story short, God healed him completely, and I've got it on video. The guy's face was priceless. And when he came up in no pain, he started to really say it was a miracle, and wow, God, this. Neither of these guys had ever seen a miracle. Why haven't Christians seen miracles? What is wrong with the world today? So this guy saw this and he's blown away. And before you know it, they're both thanking Jesus on video. And next thing I said to the guy, I turned to him and I say, okay, now will you be honest with me, the Jewish fellow? What's wrong with you? And he said to me, actually, and he tells me his back is also mucked up from rugby. So he was healed as well, and God healed him, and he couldn't believe it, but end of the day, they went off and they had something to think about. I told them, look, it's not about the miracle, it's not about me, it's more about where does the miracle lead? You guys have seen four miracles today in about 5 minutes. Where does that lead? What are you going to do about it? You guys have got some thinking to do. So they walked off, and they would. I think they probably went the wrong way. They were so bewildered, but God is good, and these guys had something to think about. Better move. So I've also seen, I've had people, unbelievers, call me up and tell me that they've had incurable diseases just drop off, including one guy at his wedding that I prayed for. He had an intestinal disease that's not curable, by the way. But with God, all things are possible, correct? So it's amazing. On his wedding day, he got healed. He brings me up 3 weeks later and says, you know, I don't believe in God, Serge, but when you prayed for me, something happened and your God healed me. And the doctors are saying that they don't explain it, they can't explain it, and I can do all of these things I couldn't do before. I'm healed, praise God. I had that bit in myself, but praise God for that, and it was just amazing. And look, I just feel impressed to say that, to finish with this, just before Jesus died on the cross, he declared, it is finished. So will you guys say that with me? It is finished. It is finished, right? So sometimes we walk around like he actually said it is to be continued, okay? But it's not. It's over. It's done. God has already sorted it out. Every need you have, whether it's physical, financial, spiritual, mental, God can meet those needs. And as Chris gave an amazing sermon last week, it was just the perfect timing. She mentioned that all of those things, condemnation, power of sin, cares of life, anxieties, worries, bitterness, hatred, anger, hurt, unforgiveness, confusion, lies, the past, fear, all those things that I had, all those things that, we, you know, some of us still feel, he set us free from all of those things, all the lies of the devil. So Jesus, my Jesus, paid the highest price because he thinks I'm worth it and he thinks you're worth it too. So we need to shine the light that he's given us. He is the light. We are to shine his light now and walk in abundant life now. And at the end, we get to go to heaven and be with him. What more could we ask for? What more is there to life, people? That's it. That's all I got. Thank you very much.